Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Think about that. That's amazing. Because I kind of think about myself sometimes, and I'm like, when have I, on a consistent basis, been the same yesterday, today, and forever? At my best, that's still a challenge. But for God, get this, it's who He is. See, we have to work at it. That's just who He is. It's a part of who He is. He couldn't change it if He tried. It's just who He is. And that is powerful. Amen? All right, that was a bonus, but I just got excited, so I just want to talk about that. But we are talking about being steady today. Being steady. Being steady. Before I do that, I do have a quick announcement. Pastor Mike and I were talking about this. We'll be receiving, we love to honor our pastors, and they're celebrating a wedding anniversary here in the next week and a half? 11th. Thank you. Next couple of weeks, we'll be receiving an offering for them just to honor them. That's something that we do. It's something they definitely don't do, but something that we as a church have done historically just to honor them. And it's always a good time to honor people. And we will do that in the next couple of weeks. So if you want to be a part of that, know that's coming, okay? All right, cool. Awesome. All right, well, let's hop in here. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I told Mr. Tony he was using a scripture today that we're going to look at. I love that verse. I love it in the Message Bible too. That's what you're reading it from, right? Oh man, it's so good. So good. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In the Greek, that means Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But maybe an even better translation that we were talking about is the fact that that's who He is. Jesus Christ will be who He is always. Always. At our very best, we are still human beings. At our very best, we're still human beings. But God will always be who He is. I mean, I could just think about that for days and still not fully wrap my head around it. We couldn't. Because for us, we learn things. We grow or we don't grow. Okay? We adapt, we change. God is. Period. He's always faithful. And that's good news. That's good. Good news. And I think for us, though, it is something that we have to work at. Being steady. Being steady. Is that something that you think that we should be working at doing more? Being more steady? Steady in the right things, obviously. All right? But steady. Anybody ever watched a Western movie before? Or a Western show. I know Pastor Jim's watched a few. I grew up on Gunsmoke, okay? I watched Gunsmoke all. I've seen every Gunsmoke episode like 3 times, okay? If you don't know this about me, now you know, all right? I've watched multiple episodes. I would watch an episode of Gunsmoke, and then I would go reenact it in my yard, all right? And we had this old picnic table that my dad made, and it was on its last limb for years, but I wouldn't let him get rid of it because I just loved flipping it over and getting behind it. You know, you ever watch like a bar fight or a gunfight on a Western and they flip the table over? Yeah, except it was me and it wasn't so much a flip, it was like, okay, tip it over. All right, yeah. But I loved Westerns, all right? I loved Gunsmoke. And every episode there was like this, the moment, right, where they're coming close to the bad guy. They're riding on their horses. you know, and it could be like the brightest day and all of a sudden it gets dark, you know? There's like the, you know, something like that, you know? There you go. All right. I had to finish it. I just couldn't resist. Facebook, don't take our live stream down. I don't have the permission rights to that. Anyway, sorry. And it gets dark. It gets serious. And the horses, right, always get like, I'm sure the horses are fine, but they would do something, and the horses would kind of get spooked. And what do they say? Whoa, steady. Steady, boy. Steady, girl. You ever hear that before? Now, I'm not a horse guy. You know, Pastor Deborah, Mr. Trent, have you ever said steady to a horse before? Is that a normal thing? Is this Hollywood? Pastor Deborah's like, I punched a few horses, but she's like, Brandon, that's not how you deal with a horse, all right? You don't baby a big animal like that, young man. But yeah, anyway, I'm a city slicker, all right? So I know Hollywood. But they would say steady, and it was interesting, right? They weren't telling the horse to stop. Yeah. So when the horse was spooked, they didn't tell the horse to stop. What they were telling the horse is, hey, just keep on moving forward. Keep on going. And we live in a world right now, and nothing's changed. I mean, the world has always been this way. It's just recreated in different ways. But we live in a culture, in a world that teaches you get spooked and you sit down. And you take a vacation, or you type about it and talk about it, and you stay. And if we don't get up and keep moving, that's where we'll be the rest of our life. How many of you know people that they got spooked in life and they're still there? They're still there. They're stuck there. It's hard for them to move forward. And for the record, I am not saying that whatever it was that spooked them wasn't scary, wasn't hard, wasn't difficult. I'm not saying that it wasn't unfair, I'm not saying that it was okay that it happened. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is there has to be an amount of resolve that we live in. And that resolve is in who God is. That's where it comes from. And that resolve produces a form of grit that allows us to keep steady. Because it's not easy to stay steady, okay? And also, just a quick side note, to stay steady means you can't ignore it. Okay? I'm not saying just bulldoze it and don't address it. Okay? But what I am saying is keep on going. Keep on moving forward. Because sometimes when we get spooked, there are certain things that our response, our reaction, we have to adjust and change. We have to align it with the Word of God. That's important to do. And then we keep on going. So what does steadiness look like for us? What does it look like for you? What are some, you know, we all have challenges in life. Every one of us in this room have different challenges that we're dealing with right now. Some of them are out of our control, and some of them are self-induced, right? But there are challenges in life. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just sit? Stay? Or are we going to move forward? A year from now, do you want to be stuck in this moment? Right? I do not want to be. I sit in a room with people that I know do not want to be. And that's what we're talking about today. So I believe the Holy Spirit has put this on my heart today to speak to all of us, myself included. So if you got your Bibles, again, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, And this is scripture a lot of us know, verse 6, not to be anxious about anything. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. And it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Amen? You know, the Word of God, it is simple. It's not always easy, but it is simple. When bad things happen, it is easy to do a lot of things except that. Right? All kinds of things. All kinds of different things. But it says here, instead of worrying, pray. And look at this. Let petitions and praises, I love what it says here, shape your worries into prayers. That's a really cool way of translating this scripture, because a lot of us know it as in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, okay? And I love how it says petitions, petitioning to God, going before God. This is what I need, but with praises. And I love that when you bring your stuff before God with praise, thanksgiving of who he is, you recognize who he is, that he is the God of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord. We thank you that you are faithful. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your favor is on my life, that everywhere that I go, I am blessed to be a blessing. And I praise you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you that your power, it lives in me. That it's not off some far off place, all right? That even though I am not qualified, you have qualified me. And you start praising him for those things, your list will actually change pretty quickly. You ever had that happen before? You're like, I need to go talk to God about some stuff. And then you start, wait a minute, and your very praise, listen what it says here, so petitions and praise, let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. I love that, because when you praise God, it begins to shape and change the way you think. It does. Because many times when you're in the situation, when a horse gets spooked and they stop, or something happens, they want to back up or freak out, what's their focus on? Whatever it is that they got spooked by. And so when I would watch those old Westerns, whether they were real or not, and the guy would say, hey, whoa, steady. They were helping the horse focus back on where they were going, moving forward. And to me, when I read the scripture, that's what I think about. You know, we're moving. We're on a path. We should be moving forward. All right, there's no neutral, okay? All right, so there's no neutral in life, okay? You're making choices no matter what. We talked about this last week. So as you're moving forward in life, you're following God, you're, you know, whatever it is that God has told you to do next, you're moving towards that, and things are going to happen. Challenges are going to happen. We live in an imperfect world, okay? But when our focus is on him and who he is, something beautiful starts to happen. It goes on to say, I'm just going to start over. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Amen. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I love how they say that, when Christ displaces worry from the center of your life. Because worry has a way of getting right in the middle of it all if we don't let it. Right? Worry, anxiety, the stresses of the world, if we're not careful, they're right in the middle. How you doing? I'm good, except for. Christ displaces worry. And if Christ displaces worry, where is he? He is now at the center, where he rightfully belongs. Right? And I don't know about you, but I still struggle with that. I get so frustrated sometimes with myself. I'm like, gosh darn it, what are you doing, Kerr? Hey? If you were ever around me and you're not, but when I'm by myself, I do this sometimes. Like, Kerr, come on. You know better. You ever had those conversations? You know better. What are you doing? Or how is this helping? You worrying all the time? You talking about how bad it is? Is that helping anything? No, because all you're doing is complaining. All right? You're not taking petitions before God with thanksgiving. You're not bringing it for... I'm just complaining over here. Right? We know the difference. Right? Even when it's in our head and we're not even saying it out loud. We're just over in our little corner that we've made for ourselves. We've made it a little darker. Or suspense. Woe is me. Nobody else knows what I'm going through. They wouldn't understand. Really? Really? Now, whatever I'm going through versus what you're going through, it's different, right? So a perfect relation to what you're going through and I'm going through is completely different, okay? We're different people. But do we all struggle? Do we all have challenges? Do we have tough things that happen? Yeah. So in the famous words of Pastor Charles Neiman, toughen up, buttercup. There will always be somebody, quote unquote, that has it better than you or worse than you. If you spend enough time looking at it. But that's not going to help you at all. That's not going to help you at all. That is not going to help you at all. So you ready to move forward? Yeah. Amen. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 12 is what we'll start in. Let's start in verse 12. We're going to hop around here a little bit in this scripture, but it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth be any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This is such a powerful scripture. This is proof as well, just so I'd like to set the record straight. This is proof that God is not the creator of bad things. All right? He's the God of breakthrough. Okay, sin entering this world started that. Sin entering this world started bad things. Okay. God isn't going to tempt you. Amen? Okay. And I think that's worth talking about. Because when we start going through stuff, have you ever heard somebody say, "Man, God, what are you trying to teach me?" All right. And sometimes our thought process is, God's doing something bad to us to teach us something, okay? Wrong, all right? The world does bad stuff. I love us all, all right? We're all stupid sometimes, okay? We can all be some morons sometimes, right? Okay, let's just be real, all right? So we do some stuff, we're like, what, you know? You ever stub your toe at night? It was the bed's fault. I mean, yeah, maybe it was the bed's fault. Okay? Okay? But you could have stood up, you could have turned on the lights, you could have drank a, but what are you like, you know that weird thing when you try to get up in the middle of the night, you're like, I'm going to try to stay as asleep as possible so that I can fall asleep again. That's me all day, right? Like, you ever wonder like what a video would look like if somebody caught that on camera? I don't want to think about it. Okay. What was I talking about? Why was that important? What? It was the bed's fault that I set my toe. Right. But there are things we could choose to do to prevent, but we just don't do it. Okay? We just don't. Sometimes we don't even know any better, and you learn, right? Those things kind of happen sometimes in life, okay? But I would say probably 99% of the time, somebody said it, somebody tried to tell us, and we did it anyway. And we'll even say, you never told me that. Because we weren't listening. It's our pride. Like, I figured it out, all right? You ever, somebody starts telling you something, and you're just like, the first part, they're like, well, let me, I just like to try to help you. And then you're like, you tune the rest out. And it's like, ma, 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 ma. And you're like, I got it, all right? I know what we're talking about. But I'm good. Anybody ever gotten directions to a place? Like before you, like when you're driving somewhere? And you think you know where it is? Pastor Mike and I have had these moments. And he is like, he's like, you're going to go here and it's over by here. And I'm like, okay, cool, got it. And he starts to tell me, and there's a few key moments, right? God bless you, Pastor Mike, all right? There's a few key pieces of information that he dropped that would make my life easier had I listened, right? I got it. And I go, and I'm there, I'm like, oh, Pastor Mike was talking about this. What did he say? Gosh darn it. You ever been there before? You should come hang out with me sometime. He's so patient with me. We've had these moments a lot of times in different ways other than just directions, but that has happened multiple times. I can think of those moments. But that's how we do sometimes. And we cause these issues in life, and then it's everyone else's fault, and we want to blame everybody else. We want to blame something else. We want to blame... Never blame God, all right? Never blame God. God is not the man that tempts, all right? The devil is the source of that. Sin entering this world, all right? And the beautiful thing is that God will always give us a way out. He will always give us that moment, that explanation moment, all right? If we're not prideful and arrogant enough to think that we can do it better. And so the moment that we humble ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to enter in, something supernatural starts to happen. See, steadiness is not hard when the Holy Spirit is in charge. But steadiness is challenging when your flesh is directing things. Probably impossible, okay? But you may get a few steps here and there. James 1:16, it says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Amen. "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." He placed us above everything else. Gave us dominion here on this earth. Wanted relationship with us, true relationship, so much relationship that he gave us free will, a choice to mess up, knowing that we probably would, and still giving us that choice because of his desire to have a true love relationship with us. What? What a beautiful gift. It is, again, that's something you can spend your whole life trying to wrap your head around, and you will get revelation after revelation and revelation after revelation of the love of God for you. Oh, I love that. I love that. And if God is always faithful, if God is always steady, if we are feeling unsteady, where should we go? To the one that's never unsteady. And yet, we do find ourselves, when things are unsteady, going to other things. And some of those things are even like good things. Okay, let's just be real for a minute. But they're not God things. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What does that mean for us? Keeping steady is being obedient. Well, I've done all this stuff. Well, I've done all these things. Well, I've did all this stuff and I sacrificed all this stuff. I'm jumping ahead of myself and I didn't even know it. But obedience is way more important. What God is telling you to do. We'll go there. I'm gonna jump forward for a minute. Go to Matthew chapter 6, because we're there, so let's talk about it for a minute. Nope, sorry, Luke chapter 10. Okay. I'll gather my thoughts, I promise. Luke chapter 10, though. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Luke chapter 10, 38 says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she said, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary.'" We go home right now. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. There will always be things to do. There will always be good things to do. It does not mean that it is God's thing for you. And where is Mary? She is at the feet. She is at the source. And Martha's out, she's sacrificing, right? She's doing all this stuff that she thinks is important. But Mary is right in front of the one that will tell her what is important. And she grasped something so important in that moment. She's like, well, if he gets up to go take care of something, I'll just go with him. That's actually the most important thing. So I'm just going to follow him along. I'm going to follow him around. I'm going to be at the feet of, I'm going to be at the feet of the source. If he moves, then I will just move. But he's not moving right now, so I'm going to just glean from him. There's a lot of good things to do in the world. There's also a lot of distractions. And the world is great at making distractions. Really. But it's the same thing, just repackaged differently. Over the period of time. It's the same exact thing, just repackaged over and over again. Over and over again. It's just repackaged different things, different distractions, different things that we can keep you from to cause stress and anxiety and troubles in your life. Because here is Martha, and what is she? She's trying to take care of all this stuff, and Jesus is like, you don't, that's not important. Like, why are you worried about that right now? Why are you putting so much effort when I have the truth? When I have the truth. Why are you filtering through all these things to try to find the truth? I am the truth. Why are you trying to filter through all of this stuff to find the truth? I am the truth. And when I was praying about this, one of the huge things that just kept flying in my face was like, for me personally right now in my life, as a parent with an almost 3-year-old daughter, there's a lot of things that culture, that the world wants to tell me I'm supposed to be okay with. I'm not gonna do that. I can't. They want to tell me that a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. And I'm sorry, that's just not, it's not true. It's not true. Now, I can allow myself to be distracted by that, or I can lean into the truth. The world wants me to be okay with a lot of things. God wants me to be okay with one thing, and that's his truth. Now, goes both ways, right? There's a lot in there. There's a balance, right? Because part of his truth is love, right? So, especially when we start talking about these hot button topics, right? Like, can Brandon say that? Yeah, I can. I can actually say whatever I want. All right, it's a free country, beautiful. It's amazing, all right? It's a beautiful thing, it really is. But it's also really important if I'm a Christian, if I call myself a Christian, that I also do everything that I do in love. Otherwise, Corinthians talks about you're just a loud gong. Got a lot of that going on too. Let's just be real, okay? So love is super important as well. I remember, you know, Cher and I we ran our youth ministry for years at this church, and we'd have young people come in that had chosen to be gay, and they would come and they would sit, and I would preach, and they would come up to me afterwards, and they would be like, "Hey, I'm gay," and I would be like, "Awesome, good for you. I'm so excited that you're here today." And they would just be like, "What?" And what were they doing? They were trying to get a reaction out of me, right? Now, I could either react or respond in that moment. And I said, "Well, thank you so much for coming. thanks for putting up with me. And they would, you know, they would laugh a little bit, you know, and they'd be like, yeah, but what do you think about that? What do you mean, what do I think about what? That I'm gay. And I'm like, it's your choice. Do you want my opinion? Like, yeah, okay. Well, you're not going to get my opinion. You're going to get the truth. And this is like, this is how this works, okay? This is like a hard, and it gets really, well, complicated. It's not, though. See, my opinion is complicated. God's truth is not. Okay? So you've gotta put that line down there and say, okay, so what's the truth? And so I just tell them, hey, this is truth. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the lifestyle that you've chosen is a sin. Okay? Can Brandon say that? I can. Okay? I can't say that. But I also would like to tell you how much God loves you. And I would also like to tell you that religion, I'm careful not to say the church, because the church is us. We are the body, okay? Religion would like to tell you that there are certain sins that are worse than other sins. But to God, thank the Lord, that's not how God looks at it. Okay? And so, and I love these moments with young people. This is like, oh, thank goodness. So we can run from these moments, or we can embrace them and take them as a chance to be able to teach the truth. So it's important for you to understand, religion wants to tell you that what you're doing is worse than the person that's over here compulsively lying, and nobody knows about that, or some secret sin, or that it's okay for this guy to go over and look at pornography, but it's wrong for you to choose the lifestyle that you've chosen. It is wrong, all right, but what they're doing is wrong too. See, the biggest and most important thing is to understand this, that church is a place where you can come and experience the love of God. And I said, I guarantee you, if you stick around long enough, the love of God will change your life. And I don't have to do anything. I don't have to persuade you, change your mind. Just come and experience his love. And the one thing that you're going to experience here at this church is God's love. And I love this, because I would love these opportunities with young people, because I'm not the only one that loves you. Our senior pastors, they love you. The reason you're up here tonight in this room is because they've sacrificed to make sure you are a priority. Have you ever been given that place in life before? And to watch all the walls come down. Because the reason that they've chosen that, we all know there's a lot going on there. And for them to hear in their life that they have been made a priority, I mean, that will change someone's life forever. Yeah. For all of us in the room, we can either choose to be a loud gong and yell our opinion, or we can choose truth, which means you can't say one without the other. So when we talk about abortion, well, there's all these, no, there's really not. And I know it's like hard things, but I'm not going to allow another tragedy to happen because of one tragedy that did happen. That's the biggest justification, right? A tragic thing happens, and now it's okay for us to allow some other tragedy to happen. I don't think so. What's that teaching people? What happens to our culture? We're saying, you know what? Something so tragic happened to you. Let's just bury it. I mean, when I say it like that, that doesn't make sense to anyone. I really don't think that makes sense. But we want to have our opinions about everything. Let's just look at the truth. What's a better thing? Well, I think as the church, we should rise up and we need to do a much better job at loving. Yeah. And not judging. So that when something like that happens, these doors are so open that they're not worried No one's worried about coming in and being prejudged about looking pregnant or being pregnant or what that maybe happened or whatever, all those things. There's so much love. They know this is the first place that they should run. But for a lot of girls, a lot of women, this is the last place they would think about running. Whose job is that? It's ours. See, truth, it isn't complicated. It's not always easy to walk out. You will have uncomfortable conversations. But would you rather have those uncomfortable conversations and help someone find truth than for them to feel good their whole life and then at the end of their life find out that there was this truth they could have known from you their whole life? Now, I went on a tangent because I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me to do that today. But what we were really coming back to, too, is all of that stuff is set to distract you from the truth. Okay? If we don't see, because, well, they're saying this, is that, well, maybe that is the truth. Is it? I don't, like, go to the Bible, find out if it's true. Okay? When you're proving something, do you prove it against something that it's not factual? No, you prove it against something that is factual, that is the truth. As Christians, the Word of God is truth. However uncomfortable it may be sometimes, it is. That is the basis of us as Christians, our faith and understanding that the Word of God is true. And yes, it will make you feel uncomfortable sometimes. That's okay. Steady. 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 The Word of God makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes. I read it and I'm like, wait a minute. Really, though? Is there a little wiggle room? God, please. Just a little. Right? No. But that's who He is. That's who God is. That's who God is. I feel like I need to say this, so I'm going to also just say, going back for a moment, I think about Jesus and how He responds. Remember the woman at the well? I also think about the woman that all the, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're about to stone this woman because she's having an affair. They're about to kill her. And Jesus comes in and He starts drawing in the sand. Most scholars think that he's writing their sins, the sins of these men that are about to stone her, writing their sins in the sand. And that's why they get all so tense. And they're like, oh, okay, we better get out of here. Because they're like, oh, and because He says, if for you that doesn't have a sin, you can throw the first stone. Any of you guys don't have any sin? And as he's writing it down, they're like, oh, shoot. He knows. Yep. It's the truth. So Jesus comes on the scene and said, okay, you have an opinion about the situation, but I'm actually the guy with the truth. I'm the source of the truth. And so He starts writing the truth. You want the truth? Here's the truth. You can't handle the truth. You know what I'm talking about? And they all walk away, and He's left. He's the only one without sin. And how does He respond? Love. He calls her daughter. There's so many sides to this today. But the world wants to distract us with all of these issues and all these situations, and we have to, we get backed into a corner. You ever felt backed into a corner before? I have felt backed into a corner before on issues and all these things. And what I've learned is this: God's truth will set you free from all of that. God's truth will allow me to move forward and stay steady. And although it might be uncomfortable and difficult and challenging, His truth is eternal. That's who He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just who He is. And I change, but He won't. Which means I could have done a bunch of crazy stuff, but when I call on the name of the Lord, He is there. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And in all my mistakes and shortcomings, my poorly placed words in moments, my bad intentions, my evil thoughts, my stubborn tendencies, my pride and arrogance, all of that stuff, because God is who He says He is, all I had to do was call on the name of Jesus. And like that, is all gone. He doesn't see me for any of that. Where are you going to get that? Where are you going to get that? I would love to tell these young people that very thing. So, what do you think Jesus sees when He sees you? What do you think He sees when He sees you? Never have been asked that question before. I don't know. Probably doesn't even see me. I don't know. He's probably not happy with me. He's probably upset with me. No. I was like, you're young. How old are you? They're like 13, 14, 15, 16. I was like, I'm older than that, all right? I got a much longer rap sheet than you. Way longer, all right? You think you try to shock me right now? I will shock you, baby, all right? And God, when He looks at me, He loves me. He sees me as a son. When He sees you, He sees a son. Or He sees a daughter that He loves, that He cherishes. That's what He sees. And it is full of love. More love than you can ever handle. And all these young people, I'm very blessed. I feel very blessed in this, but all these young people, I still text them today, and you know what they do? They text back. Shocker. They're not like, I don't think I'm going to text that guy back because he told me that I was committing a sin. No. And are some of them still in that lifestyle? Yes. Are some of them not? Yeah, some of them aren't. But you know what they know? This is a safe place. They know that. Because we, when we're ministering, we're representing Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah, and we're representing God Himself. So I always love bringing them in the mix. And so they know that this church, you all, this is a safe space. And we are responsible for forever working at changing that narrative. Because we live in a world, the narrative is different. And the narrative of the world is, you can't say that, you can't do that as a Christian. Well, yeah, okay. But that was all irrelevant. See, that is a whole other, don't get distracted by that. Just focus on the truth. Focus on the truth. Focus on the Word of God. And everything that I talked about today, a lot of it is causing a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety for a lot of us in the room, okay? If we're not careful. Does that make sense? It can be a very, very, very huge source of stress and anxiety. How am I going to deal with this? Wonder if I could ask this. How would I? What do I? What do I? Where do I? Where do I stand? You stand for the truth. And you do it in love. And we can simplify it in that way. And allow that to take the stress and the anxiety and the pressure off your back. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I love that scripture. I love the Message Bible. It says, "Come with me, walk with me, and I will teach you and show you the rhythms of grace, the unforced rhythms of grace." And what does it say? A yoke. What's a yoke? It's not an egg yolk, right? Yeah. You put it on an ox so that they can do something. They can pull something. They can move something. Okay? That's our purpose. God has given us all a purpose. Okay? But that purpose that he has given us, man, we can toe that line all day, baby. All day. I can carry that thing all day. Why? Because before I was ever in my mother's womb, he knit me together. He gave me everything I need. He put things inside of me. He gave me personality traits. He gave me skill sets. He put things inside of me that no man can take away. You ever tried on a piece of clothing or a shoe or anything and it just fits just right? That's what we're talking about. His yoke, it's easy. The purpose that he's putting on, it's easy to take on. You can just put it on. It's like, whoa. Ooh, I just run a little bit faster. Right? I lift more. This is no big deal right now. See, steadiness is not hard when the Holy Spirit is in control. It is not hard. Two more things as we close today. I find this so powerful. And a lot of the Bible talks about this all the time. But the power of gratitude in our life. You know, we read it in Scripture all over today. But if you're dealing with anxiety, the greatest thing you can do to combat it is gratitude. Okay? The Bible, I mean, we read multiple scriptures today that said that. Gratitude is so important. Don't you love when people do science and then it proves the Bible? I'm like, actually, the Bible actually is proving your science, but that's cool. They did a study in 2022 because, you know, anxiety is a huge thing. The amount of Americans that are on anxiety medication, it's astronomical. It's an epidemic. Anxiety is a real thing. But we have a real God with a real cure. Amen? They did a study. They studied all these people with anxiety, dealing with anxiety, and they gave them a task every day to do. Just three times a day, would you, in a search bar, type the word gratitude. And look at that for 5 minutes. They did it for every single person's anxiety lowered tremendously over a 30-day period. And they're putting in a Google search gratitude. Who knows what's coming up? So powerful. I was like, well, I wonder if you plugged into the source of gratitude. Like, I wonder if you plugged into the, like, what would that do for you? It would change everything. Anxiety is a very real thing. I'm not saying it's fake in any sort of way, all right? I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is showing God gratitude for what he has done in your life, what he is doing in your life, and what he is going to do. The reason that I say that all the time is because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? It's like a brain hack for me. And it reminds me that what he did, he can do it right now, and he's going to do it again. That kind of gratitude, it will displace anxiety in your life. Can you just take a moment, just bow your head, close your eyes for just a moment as I wrap up? And I don't know if this is just for one person today or a few people. Maybe it's for everyone today. But as I was just praying over y'all this week, I just felt the Holy Spirit just give me this image. And I'm just going to explain it to you today. And I'm not going to try to coat it with any Brandon today, but I'm just trying to try to give you what the Holy Spirit gave me. And I just saw this picture of a person in each of their hands holding these big ropes, so a total of 6 ropes, 3 in each hand, like those big tug-of-war ropes, and they were tight, and it was like pulling you apart. You could barely hold it, and you were doing everything that you had to hold these 3 ropes. And there's just one single rope right in front of you that's like floating at eye level that you could grab. Those six ropes are all these things that you're trying to carry, that you're trying to fix, that you're trying to change. And that one single rope, it symbolizes Jesus. And I just saw this picture of, even though it was reluctant, dropping all those ropes and grabbing hold of that single rope. And all of a sudden, it's just steadily pulling and helping you move forward. And I just see Jesus come behind, and he looks at those 6 ropes that are on the ground, and a few of them he looks at and he throws them away, because you weren't supposed to be even towing that rope to begin with. But there is a few that you were supposed to. But he takes those and he ties it to his rope. And it empowers you to move forward. Not just you, but also those things that he's called you to do. We can try to do it all on our own. We can try to be steady, but it is nothing compared to the source of true steadiness in our life. Anxiety, worry, pain, pressure, any distraction, you fill in the blanks. Come to me, all who are heavy, labored, and I will show you the unforced rhythms of grace. Lord, I just pray right now for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit do what only you can do today. Do what only you can do today. Transform us today. Rearrange. If there's some stuff we got to get rid of, we want to get rid of it today. If there's some things that we want to take on today because your Holy Spirit's leading us, we're going to take it on today. We're going to be obedient. We're going to recognize your truth. That is the end all. And as we focus on that, clarity of mind will come. We lean on that in faith today. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit today, ministering to us, speaking to us. We thank you for your strength. Anybody in the room today, you just want to know Jesus? Maybe you feel like you drifted away from him. But everything that I talk about today, you're like, I didn't know that was even available. I didn't know I have access to that. Anybody in the room that wants to know Jesus today, make them their Lord and Savior. Anybody in the room, lift up your hand today, if that's you. Okay, I'm going to assume we're all believers in here then. There is one line that we're all supposed to take on, and that's to tell others about him. The world, there is an epidemic of anxiety in this world. There is an epidemic of lies and deceit, and we have the answer. And it is time to step up. Let's do it in love. Let's step up. Let's love people. Let's show them the truth. And let's trust that the Holy Spirit is with us when we do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, if you're upset with me with things I said, I would love to talk about it. I really would. I don't say that just because I would love to talk about it. All right? I know I can say it because I know they back me too. I know that. I was never afraid about that. I never was. But I would love to talk about it too because those are real things, all right? And I know that for a fact I didn't say it perfectly today, but I do know that the Holy Spirit has it, okay? And I do know this, we can't be afraid of that, all right? Our kids deserve more. I know that's a tough one, but they do. And I'm speaking to myself very much so when I say that, okay? And for those of you who are like, well, I don't have kids. Yeah, you do, all right? We all influence people. We all have people that look up to us, all right? And they need us, all right? They need us, all right? And I know I can say that because it's all of you, all right? We're family, okay? We move together, okay? So let's do it, all right? We love you. Have an awesome week, and we will be back here next Sunday, all right? Yeah, Pastor Jim.
For everyone in the sanctuary today, any opinion that you have or belief that you have, find the scripture that backs it. And if you can't find a scripture that backs it, we're going to love. We're going to love everybody we get our hands on. But we always stand on the Word of God. Yeah. You just always do. Yeah. So when you get out there, knowing if someone wants to pick a verbal fight with you, just smile and realize, God's put this person in front of me today to love them. Yeah. I'm going to get them today. Yeah. I had a man at a door tell me, you don't have to do that. And I said, oh, yeah, I do. You need love shown you today. He looked at me and I said, you've had a rough time. I'm just going to show you love. Wow. Take your shot at it, okay? Always find the word. And if you can't find the word that backs it, stand on love. Amen. Thank you. Great job, Brandon.
Awesome. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us and have a great day.